Welcome on in, folks. The final day of September goes by so quick. It is September 30th, our Tuesday edition of Sports Talk. This hour, we'll be handing things off at 7 to the Saints Hour with Mike Haas. Also, we'll have with him tonight VP and Assistant General Manager Jeff Ireland of the Saints. Also, rookie safety Jonas Sanker, who will also be hearing some clips from this hour, along with Kendra Miller, the Black and Gold, getting a day off today, the players, and then we'll be back in action tomorrow as they start preparing for week 5 against the New York Giants coming to the Superdome. That next two games are actually in Dome Sweet Dome, and the Black and Gold still searching for that first win of the season against the Giants squad that just got their first victory last week in a surprising game against the Chargers, who just looked all out of sorts in that matchup. I don't know exactly what happened there, but the once again, you see the defensive numbers from the Giants are really not that impressive, even though they have this scary front right now. And the turnover ratio, like the Cajun Cannon Bobby Aber always likes to point out, the Giants and Saints dead even on the season at zero.
I'm surprised the Giants are at zero because Russell Wilson threw up so many lollipop throws in his time as a starter. Steve, you would imagine that New York would probably be in the negative. So good on them. And that's actually kind of a positive sign for their defense because that means that they're forcing some turnovers because I know offensively they had plenty of them. Mike has brought it up as well, Steve, throughout the show. The Giants run defense, and we'll preview this all week long because that is the spot that you can attack on this Giants roster, much less, you know, other different matchups. 29th in the NFL so far this year, 153 yards per game allowed. So you would imagine, and I know that Joe Alt got hurt in that game as well for the Chargers, their stud left tackle. A Coach Harbaugh team, you would imagine that they would run the ball and ground and pound Amarian Hampton, who started to flash within the past couple weeks.
He did have a good game still, right, or no?
He did, but that's because he made the most of like limited carries. You would have imagined he would have had double the carries that he ended up with against that Giants squad, and they very well could have won. Instead, they forced Justin Herbert, who's been having a fantastic year, to throw way more than he should have, and he ended up being under siege by this Giants defensive front, which is what they want to do. They want you to throw the ball as many times as possible so that they can let their pass rushers get after you, and they got some elite ones at that. So that underbelly of the Giants defensive line, though, defensive front at least, because Dexter Lawrence is unbelievable, and he's a good run stuffer as well. 153 yards per game allowed on the ground. That's the number to remember for Saints fans because you can definitely attack that Giants defense that way.
And it sure looks like our dynamic duo of Alvin Kamara and Kendra Miller last game against Buffalo was clicking. Let's see if they can carry that into this Sunday back home in the Dome against the Giants squad like you mentioned right there. At least they are vulnerable to the run game right now. And if the Saints have to lean on that, shoot, I don't mind one bit on, you know, handing the ball off a whole ton to AK and Kendra there. You saw what was one of the bright spots from that game, too, against Buffalo, the hard running of Kendra Miller, especially on that nice touchdown run he had. Saw him breaking tackles all game, and just a huge positive from a guy. We know, Charlie, we kind of talked about it a ton. The injury bug has just been a problem for him, and kind of like someone like Zion Williamson, I feel like. I don't think talent's ever the question. It's just the ability for those guys to stay on the field or on the court.
And I wanted to shout out Coach Moore and his answer from last night because he said that the opportunistic approach that Kendra Miller took to that Bills game, where he knew that he was only going to get a certain amount of carries, but he made the most of every touch that he got. And that is exactly what you want to see for an ascending player on offense for the Saints. And that's how you earn more touches, in all honesty, right? If you continue to perform and impress the coaching staff, which Kendra obviously did, if you listen to Coach Moore on the Saints Coaches Show last night, he raved about what he saw from Kendra Miller and creating that 1-2 punch with Alvin Kamara, the rushing attack. He's going to earn more touches throughout the season, Steve. And if he stays healthy, he stays on the field, he continues to take this kind of approach that he's been taking early on this season, he could be, you know, a rising talent on the Saints offense, which is exactly what the Saints need. The last thing you needed was for Kendra to end up being a bust that couldn't stay healthy, couldn't stay on the field. And when he was on the field and he could flash that talent, now he's starting to do so more consistently with the touches that he's getting. So that's obviously a great thing for the Saints offense.
Yeah, and it seems whatever his routine is now that he's been putting in to keep his body intact is working, and definitely hoping that continues for Kendre and the Saints. Looking at some of the action going on right now, MLB world, we got playoffs in action. The Chicago Cubs won today, taking down San Diego 3-1 in their wild card matchup, and also Detroit beats Cleveland 2-1 in Cleveland on that matchup. We're in the top of the fifth inning in the Bronx, and the New York Yankees have a 1-0 lead over the Boston Red Sox right now.
On an Anthony Volpe solo shot, Steve.
He's been getting tons of criticism, as you know.
He has definitely been getting tons of criticism. You're right about that. But it's been a lot of low-scoring games in the first day of wild card action, which you would expect. It's all the aces going, the best pitchers going up against, you know, the other best pitchers. Tarek Skubal was unbelievable today,
oh,
by the way,
my
for the
Lord,
Tigers.
Right.
A 14 strikeout performance in his debut performance of the 2025 MLB postseason. The best pitcher on the planet. Him and Paul Skeens keep trading that hat back and forth, but he's incredible. So the Tigers take game one over the Guardians, as you had mentioned, in that AL Central battle. And then later on, the Cubs had an awesome performance from their bullpen, who just completely locked down the San Diego Padres in that 3-1 victory for them. And so far, in a battle of aces between Max Fried and Garrett Crochet for the Red Sox, we've got a 1-0 game in the fifth inning.
We'll cruising by, Charlie.
Well, when you get these pitching duels, man, it really does fly. This game started at 5 o'clock. We're sitting at 6:18 right now, and we're already in the fifth. So with the way these two guys are throwing the ball with Fried and Crochet, you can imagine that this game will be pretty quick. And then we'll get on to the nightcap with the Reds and the Dodgers.
I was going to say, your favorite team in action this evening in the Dodgers.
I made the argument, and I think I'm right on this. This isn't even my Dodgers hate going at it, but if you're just an unbiased viewer of this MLB postseason, you're just a baseball fan, you love October baseball, there's very few teams that you should root for above the Reds. Just because of the story. A Cinderella team, like a team that was maybe a little bit ahead of schedule.
And going against the juggernaut, too, now in the Dodgers.
Yeah, the defending World Series champions in the first round. They weren't supposed to be here. I gave the number 2 weeks ago, this team had like a 3% chance to make the postseason. They sneak in because the Mets collapse, and now you get this matchup against the Dodgers. And if they can pull off an upset in the first round, man, that'd be a hell of a story.
We believe in the power of being everywhere, folks. Listen to WWL anytime, anywhere. Get the WWL shows that you love. That's Dave Cohen, Tommy Tucker, Newell, Scoot, and Sports Talk, and all the local content that you crave on Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn apps. We shall take a break and return with some of our WWL soundbank right after this on the Big 870 AM 105.3 FM and WWL.com and the Odyssey app. Who dat, folks? Back here on Sports Talk, folks, want to let you know it's not too late to win tickets to the next Saints game when the Black and Gold take on the New York Giants. Caesars Superdome, October 5th. You can score two premium tickets to the game plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. We're talking open bar with premium liquor and all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, and that's all overlooking Champion Square. Winning's easy. Go to WWL.com/contest. Enter one time every day for your chance to win Saints Giants tickets from Saints Radio WWL. That is a noon kickoff on Sunday, and even the following matchup, Charlie, I got a chuckle out of it when the NFL sends out the report, oh, the Saints 3:25 start against the New England Patriots been basically flexed to another nooner.
Yeah, it got flexed up, and then they flexed the Bucs game that day to the afternoon. I think it's the Bucs and the 49ers are now going to be playing at 3:25 instead.
Correct, yeah.
So they just basically swap places. Yeah, another noon start time. But Steve, we had mentioned this kind of preseason, I think, is that the Saints have a lot more afternoon start times than you would probably think.
Definitely wasn't expected all those 3 o'clockers.
They have like six of them. And I think now it's down to, well, five and
right.
Down to four because they already played the Seahawks. So four more throughout the rest of the season. But it was still more on the initial schedule than you probably would have expected.
Looking back to last game against the Buffalo Bills, one of the positive standouts from the game, we kind of touched on it a little, that run game with Kendra Miller and Alvin Kamara, a nice dynamic duo the Saints have. Hopefully see more of that going forward in games. You figure that's going to help contribute to winning football. But Kendra Miller, 11 carries, 65 yards, averaging 5.9 a carry, also had that touchdown. Still not getting really involved in the passing game yet, though, but it was definitely good to see him getting a larger chunk of the carries. Our WWL soundbank brought to you by First American Bank. And Kendra Miller was asked, how does it feel to be healthy finally this season?
really just not thinking about it because next game mentality, like, I mean, Buffalo was last week, so now we got the Giants this week. So just keeping that next week mentality, not thinking about last year and like how I've been injured. I'm just like, what can I do this week to get better? And what can I do to succeed against the Giants? How can we get a win?
Happy to hear Kendry's putting that behind him, and hopefully that issues any that he's having with his health is also behind him as well. It's hard to, you know, put your past troubles behind you all the time. And I guess Kendra Miller just figures right now, as long as I keep working, doing my thing, I'm going to keep earning these carries in this offense.
For what it's worth, this had to feel like about as good of a fresh start for any player on the Saints roster. Maybe like Trevor Penning's up there as well, moving right to left guard. But Kendra Miller and the Saints' former coaching staff, it is well documented that was not a good relationship. So, you know, he's... As Coach Moore said on the coach's show, again, he's making the most of his opportunities. And the better he plays, the more touches he's going to get, the more numbers he's going to get, and hopefully the wins will follow.
You talk about relationships. Kendra Miller was also asked his relationship with Alvin Kamara this year.
It's more like me and him on the same page because it's kind of hard to develop like a relationship like with somebody if you're not really there doing it with them. And so like me and him have been – you know, like I've been here, like this is my third year, but like it's a little bit more closer this year just because, like, you know, we kind of going through it and like he know he got to like lean on me and I'm at to lean on him for different things. So our conversation, we definitely done got way closer. And like even on the sideline, just like talking to each other about the game and like what coming up with ideas on the sideline and then going out there and running it. It's pretty cool to see our relationship trending that way.
Kendra Miller also asked about his relationship or an impression, really, of quarterback Spencer Rattler.
He's always been, like, competitive, and since day one, like, even last year, like, he didn't act like a rookie to me. Like, he's always been, like, super mature, and just, like, seeing how he progressed, like, every week, like, even on the sideline, like, he throw a pick or, like, something doesn't go right. He, like, come on, like, we got this, like, whatever, like, he just takes control since day one, like, even in the huddle, like, before we out there, like, let's go punch it in, let's go get a score, and ultimately, he said that on the field Sunday. I mean, we went down there and scored, so it's just kind of cool seeing him, like, he's super, like, confident and comfortable in everybody's ability, especially his.
That was Kendra Miller, Saints running back, and that'd be key, building that bond with Alvin Kamara. They could be, you know, I keep mentioning a dynamic duo. We've loved what we saw in the past with AK and what Mark Ingram were able to do together, and just curious to see more of what of Kendra Miller is able to do in Kellen Moore's offense, I should say.
Coach used the 1-2 punch terminology when talking about the two of them. And realistically, if they can serve that role together, right? Because you know what Coach Moore wants to do. He wants to be able to run the football with this offense, and they were able to do it effectively against the Buffalo Bills. But moving forward, if they can continue to build on that performance and run with both Alvin and being able to spell Alvin with an effective Kendra to where Alvin doesn't need to get 25 carries in a game to be elite, right? That's going to be awesome. And keeping both guys fresh throughout the season as well. The 1-2 punch thing is legit, Steve. And if both of them can get going, the Saints rushing attack, Scott Shanley brought it up last week that it could be the strength of this entire team by the end of the season. With the offensive line investments that they've made, and you're hoping that they're going to continue to improve up front, those two guys running the football, they could be pretty dangerous for the Saints team.
Fingers crossed the roughest part of this Saints schedule is behind us and they can get into the win column this week and string a little more together. We'll see what happens with that. How's your fantasy football team doing? We'll get into that fantasy focus with Joe Bartel from RotoWire after the break. You can sound off 504-260-1870 phone line or your text for Fantasy Focus coming up right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk, folks. It is Tuesday, so that means it's time for Fantasy Focus as we gear up for the Waiver Wire Wednesday ads tomorrow. Who should you be trying to pick up for your squad? Helping us break all that down, Joe Bartel, Fantasy Focus, ex-fantasy football expert at RotoWire. Joe, thanks so much for the time, as always, man. How was your week?
Yeah, it was pretty good as a Packer fan. I guess it was fun to watch the 40-40 tie, but I would like to see my team, which is supposed to be a Super Bowl favorite, actually act like it over the past 2 weeks. So I'll have to wait one more week with a bye at least.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to pick up Romeo Doubs this past week and, you know, have him for a pretty good fantasy day. But now with the bye week, I'll lead off with that. I'm wondering, is he someone I should be holding on to or kind of look elsewhere? If, I guess, if help's needed, should I be looking elsewhere right now? Or is, you think Doubs is worthy of a stash?
Yeah, I do think Doubs is kind of in that range of wide receiver three or flex. And the Packers have a pretty favorable upcoming schedule post-bye, at least up until, say, week eight or so. And with more bye weeks to come, it's certainly possible you're going to run into this spot. And I just want to caution anyone, people see the 3 touchdowns, 60 receiving yards, and be like, all right, great. Let's, you know, it's same for Trey Tucker last week. We found a guy. And Romeo Doubs is the number one receiver for the Packers, but the way that they spread that ball around, and I think obviously to the detriment from a fantasy perspective, but I think sometimes to the detriment of the confidence of the receivers and the teammates, it is a great spot to be for the Packers offense, but not for fantasy. Doubs will always be Jordan Love's preferred target in the red zone, and especially on third down, need me third like receptions. But it doesn't really translate to actual fantasy production. So I get the excitement for it. I think Doubs is the best fantasy asset of the Packers receiving group right now, but it doesn't mean that he probably is anyone. I'm assuming he'll be more than a wide receiver three or flex. I think that's kind of that range he'll be all year.
Joe, I think I asked you about this last week about the rookie running backs and how, you know, they're just going to continue to get better and better. And you saw an awesome performance from Ashton Jeanty. But I wanted to ask you about a player that stock seems to be slowly rising, actually quickly rising, with Woody Marks from the Texans. And the Texans run game, it's been well documented what's been going on with Joe Mixon and his injury. And then they had Nick Chubb for a majority of the start of the season. But against the Titans, and I get take it with a grain of salt, the Tennessee Titans are the worst team in football. But his snap percentage was at a career high for him at 56, and then he made the most of his touches, 17 carries, 69 yards, a touchdown. But also in the receiving game as well, Joe, 4 receptions, 50 yards as well, and a touchdown in the receiving game. So for PPR leagues, he's got some value there too. Woody Marks, do you think, you know, maybe that's a one-off performance, or do you think this is someone that you should buy now before his stock really starts soaring through the roof? Because it feels like the Texans offense is going to continue to utilize this rookie back that they took in the fourth round more and more as the season progresses.
Yeah, you hit the nail right in the head. I put this in my waiver article right now up on the RotoWire site. I do daily updates for it. And actually, we should at least get to one of the other players I think is worth mentioning a little bit later in the show in terms of running backs. But Woody Marks for me was the obvious waiver pickup. He was rostered in 30% of Yahoo leagues as of my article write up, I think either Monday morning or Sunday night. So odds are he might not be available in a lot of places, but I'm kicking myself that I wasn't more aggressive recommending him in past weeks. Because to me, looking at this now with, I guess, a breath of fresh air on it, this feels so much like the Tyrone Tracy situation last year. Then, but a rookie running back for the Giants, Devin Singletary was injured, Nick Chubb has just been ineffective. Tyrone Tracy comes in right away, supposedly just a pass catching back, but then becomes like a running back too, basically the entire season. The Giants' offensive line is bad. Texans' offensive line might be worse. Giants' offense last year for Tyrone Tracy wasn't very good, and Tracy still produced. I think that's sort of the same cadence we're going to see for Woody Marks. And the only difference is that as long as Nick Chubb is there and healthy and playing, it won't be Woody Marks' entire backfield to lose as it was for Tyrone Tracy last year. But I think, you know, I profile Woody Marks as more of a pass-catching specialist right away. In fact, the pre-week one and week one waiver articles I did both referenced Woody Marks in that capacity. I did not assume he would get this sort of volume end of September. I thought it'd be more like a mid-October, late-October scenario. And frankly, I think it was the right call by the Texans. Now, the only word of caution, and this is really just one word of caution, Titans run defense in particular is one of the worst in the league. And while we might want to overreact to what Woody Marks did and how great the production is, that he's widely available everywhere, comparing it to last week's Cam Scataboo or Trey Benson, who fell into really odd situations with the starters or injured, I don't think it's quite like that. Nick Chubb is still going to be there, but Woody Marks definitely needs to be on your team. I think he needs to be close to like the 85-90% roster rate on Yahoo leagues, which I think will happen after waivers past Tuesday. And if you are in one of those leagues where it's like first come, first serve waiver priority, I would be wasting my top waiver priority pick on a guy like Woody Marks. I think he is going to be legit rest of the season.
Joe, I got a question about another running back, and it's right here in New Orleans with Kendra Miller. We saw him have a really nice, productive day, 11 carries, 65 yards and a score, had his highest share snap count this year. And looking at that, you know, he's obviously sharing time with Alvin Kamara in this Saints backfield. But how are you feeling about Kendra Miller? Are you bullish on him going into week 5 against the New York Giants?
So let's tackle it on two different ways. And I'm honestly so happy I'm on with you guys, because I think you can answer this probably better than the entire rest of America, it feels like, in terms of what the Saints are going to be this season and what they typically choose to do in terms of like a front office organization. If you're rostering or picking up Kendre Miller with the idea that you want a quality backup and a guy that would elevate to a higher role in the event the starter gets injured, no issue with that. That's no different than what Jordan Mason was at the start of this fantasy season. He was like a round 9 pick, and Aaron Jones is round 7 pick. Like, I totally get that. I think Alvin Kamara is still really good. He's been playing great. Like, it's not so much that Alvin Kamara is going to get moved away, like we just talked about with Woody Marks over Nick Chubb, mm-hmm. but that Kendre Miller and Alvin Kamara can work in conjunction. What is happening incorrectly in the fantasy universe, and again, I want you guys to tell me if I'm wrong, is that everyone's projecting an Alvin Kamara trade. And I understand the premise behind it. It's okay, the Saints aren't a very good football team. Nobody expected them to be very good at starting the season. You would move your assets, whatever it might be, in these scenarios. It especially happens at the MLB trade deadline, NBA trade deadline, things like that. A, the NFL doesn't work that way. But B, the Saints cap situation and the contract extension given to Alvin Kamara last year basically necessitates, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but necessitates that a team would effectively have to overpay financially and from a draft capital perspective in order for the Saints to take that dead cap hit and to also move a guy like Kamara, who's an important part of the team and part of the leadership and, frankly, the community in New Orleans too. Compare that to a running back like Breece Hall for the Jets, a similarly 0-4 team, who is on the end of his rookie year contract, only cost $3.5 million, has zero dead cap penalty for the Jets. A guy like Isaiah Davis is far more interesting to me if you are trying to speculate on a team trading a starting running back. Now, again, I might be entirely wrong on this. I am a football nerd through and through. I love following the salary cap stuff, and I still have no idea the gymnastics that Mickey Loomis does on it feels like a daily basis. So if you guys tell me that it is very easy for the Saints to trade Kamara, that's great. But anything I see in spot track and things like that would tell me otherwise.
No, you sound like you hit it right on the head there, Joe.
It seems like it's a situation down here, Joe, where it's a we'll believe it when we see it type of thing. And granted, much can change over the next month before the NFL's trade deadline. But by all accounts, Alvin Kamara loves it here. He continues to say that he wants to retire a New Orleans Saint. And we'll see if anything changes over the next month, as I said. But as of now, just speaking to Coach Moore last night, he talked a lot about the 1-2 punch with the two of them. And it feels like moving forward, kind of establishing that run game, which they had great success with against Buffalo. Granted, once again, a bad run defense. That's going to start becoming their identity offensively moving forward.
I have zero issue, again, trying to say that Kendre Miller, who was a third-round pick a couple years ago, was in the doghouse, I thought, prematurely in some other coaching staffs that are since no longer there. Like, there's no issue in betting on the talent of Kendre Miller and working in conjunction with Kamara. What is happening nationally is people projecting an Alvin Kamara trade, and that is fundamentally wrong in my mind. And if we were to do that, if we're already projecting in Week 5, who are going to be some bad teams that trade away their starting running backs to the Chiefs, because that's basically all this is how can we make Patrick Mahomes even better, I would just point everyone to the Breece Hall part of things with the Jets, who have an easier contract to go ahead and acquire if you are Kansas City, and also would be willing to give up that draft cap without any dead cap happening as in relation to the Saints. Again, you guys, everyone here listening locally understands this. We've all seen the Saints game, but people, it feels like nationally, don't get what Alvin Kamara means to the New Orleans Saints. And for that, I'll say Kendre Miller is not anywhere near as high as he should be, or he's too high in the fantasy waiver wire rankings right now, because Kamara will, I think, be on that team for the foreseeable future.
You know, you mentioned it earlier, Joe, that you're a Packers fan, and we saw what Dak Prescott did on Sunday Night Football, going over 30 points for the first time this season in fantasy leagues. But George Pickens, and really the breakout performance for him, no CeeDee Lamb. You know, we had talked to some fantasy football folks last week about, oh, well, CeeDee's going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks with this high ankle sprain. How much stock should you be putting into George Pickens as the team's new wide receiver one? And boy, he got put in that role. And he had been good this season, back-to-back 17.5-point games in PPR leagues against the Giants and the Bears, but then a real breakout performance against the Packers with, you know, 8 receptions on 11 targets, 134 receiving yards, and 2 receiving touchdowns, goes for over 30 points in PPR leagues. It just felt like Pickens really had his breakout performance. And for the foreseeable future, until CeeDee Lamb gets back, don't worry about, oh, the quality of the receivers behind him and how he might be seeing some double teams from opposing defenses. George Pickens is that guy when he's put in that wide receiver one role.
Yeah, well, let's expand on this because we saw the unfortunate injury of Tyreek Hill on Monday Night Football. Obviously, we're dealing with basically a neutered Ja'Marr Chase with Jake Browning being ineffective. CeeDee Lamb is out, obviously, for the next couple weeks as well, too. I know I'm missing at least Malik Nabers as well, right, with the ACL injury. There's a number of first-round picks in terms of, like, redraft August receivers that the unfortunate issue is nobody really sees, like, an obvious benefit. I made the argument in my waiver wire article, again, you can find on RotoWire or my Twitter, JB Fantasy Sports. I actually don't mind picking up both Wandale Robinson and Darius Slayton. Like, of all these really unfortunate injury situations, the Giants is probably one that I'm speculating on the most. But the issue is with Jackson Dart starting now this week aside, I don't think there's going to be a lot of volume in that passing attack. I think Brian Daboll wants to protect Jackson Dart at all costs, which means that it'll be like somewhere in the range of 25 pass attempts to 28 pass attempts per game. That doesn't mean Wandale Robinson won't see eight targets or Darius Slayton doesn't get four or five. But to this overall point, like going back to George Pickens, we would love for all these injured players to open up opportunities for the Kalonte Turpins of the world or Jalen Tolberts. And the reality is that we're talking about wide receiver fives on your roster for the most part. Or with Tyreek Hill, I did a deep dive on is Malik Washington worth picking up? And the answer was, Joe, why are you even doing to yourself? This is ridiculous. So like it's a frustrating spot to be in. Yeah, I think George Pickens rest of season isn't going to be one of those guys that I'm like, I need to have him on my playoff teams because he'll make a difference. But right now, you can argue that he probably is going to be a top 10 receiver moving forward. I will slightly push back on the idea that this is George Pickens just as a breakout, and more importantly, the Packers defense being exposed. Nate Hobbs, Carrington Valentine had zero clue what to do when George Pickens caught the ball. I have to think there are more confident defenses out there. It can't be that bad every single time. And unfortunately, as a Packer fan, I have watched many competent or incompetent defenses, and that looked very similar to me. So Pickens is going to be a good receiver, especially with CeeDee Lamb out. I still would think Jake Ferguson as well, with the small funnel in Dallas, the way it goes, will also do well as a tight end position. But, yeah, I mean, Pickens is like a, let's say, wide receiver 15 at the floor for the next 2 or 3 weeks. I'm totally on board with that.
Last one for you, Joe. I'm curious, if you're streaming defenses, who do you like out there that's on the waiver wire potentially to add to your squad right now, some matchups that might be good?
Yeah, typically the Cardinals are available. You think about how bad the Titans have been. I think every team that's won against the Titans has gotten 8 or more fantasy points on defense.
Nice.
I don't think the Cardinals' defense is like all that good, and they've lost a lot of secondary pieces. So if this is the 1 week in the set changes, that's fine. But they won't get you negative points either. And sometimes that's all we need is just kind of a winning battle, 3 or 4 points. I would say the Rams' defense is interesting, too. A short week against the banged-up Brock Purdy, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, George Kittle isn't back yet either. The Niners need this one, and I never want to bet against Kyle Shanahan, but this is a good spot for that Rams defense, which has been opportunistic in terms of turnovers, to also benefit too. So between the Cardinals and I think the Rams, that's probably two pieces. I would not go to Jacksonville. I've seen that one recommended in a few places. I don't want to mess with the Chiefs right now. I know the Jaguars are getting lots of turnovers.
Right.
That feels unsustainable to me, and especially against Patrick Mahomes and company. I don't want to mess with Jacksonville this week.
Awesome stuff. Joe Bartle, fantasy football expert at RotoWire. You can follow him at Twitter, at JB Fantasy Sports. What can folks find at RotoWire right now, Joe? I know you mentioned you have your waiver wire ads up there right now.
Yeah, I have the waiver wire article. It does get updated daily up until Thursday's game. But more importantly, the box score breakdown article, I think, does a great job looking at some of the extra data. My colleague Jerry Donabedian does a great job, and that's every Tuesday out there. I think guys overall can get a lot of fantasy knowledge from the RotoWire site.
Thank you so much, Joe, and on to week 5 we go. Appreciate you.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Bartle, fantasy football expert at rotowire.com. Check out his work there. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk as we get ready for the Saints Hour. Coming up with Mike Haas, he'll have with him this evening Saints senior VP and assistant general manager Jeff Ireland, along with safety Jonas Sanker. Coming up back with more Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk, which is coming to a close this Tuesday, September 30th. Looking forward to the Saints Hour coming up with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. Also, he'll have with him senior vice president and assistant general manager Jeff Ireland on the show, as well as rookie safety Jonas Sanker. That's coming up on the Saints Hour. Meanwhile, tomorrow's edition of Sports Talk, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottiglia, and myself, an exclusive weekly breakdown you cannot miss, folks. QB to QB, two legendary Saints quarterbacks, the Cajun Cannon and Drew Brees, share their unique in-depth takes on Saints football. That's at 4:30, then at 5:20. Odyssey betting insider Brad Evans brings us his bets for the weekend's biggest college and NFL action. Plus, we'll get the latest intel from Saints practice with WWL sideline reporter and digital content producer Jeff Nowak at 7:10. Also, hear Dire directly from head coach Kellen Moore and quarterback Spencer Rattler as the Black and Gold prepare to host the Giants. Huddle up with Bobby, Mike, and myself. Sports Talk tomorrow, 4 to 8 on WWL and the Odyssey app. We're looking at the playoff action in MLB going on right now. The New York Yankees still holding on to that 1-0 lead over the Boston Red Sox in the top of the seventh inning. Charlie, I might be able to make it home just in time for the end.
With how quick this game's been going,
probably
Steve,
not.
You got to probably speed home to make it for the final inning. No, it's another pitching duel. The third straight pitching duel to open the wild card round. Garrett Crochet gave up two singles in the first five pitches, and then he got a strikeout and grounded to a double play. So he got out of that. Gives up the solo shot to Volpe, and since then he's retired 12 straight Yankee batters.
Right.
And on the opposite side, Max Fried goes 6 1/3 scoreless.
Was awesome.
For the Yankees, once again, two aces on the mound. You kind of expect this, but it's been a great pitching duel.
Back tomorrow, folks. Stay tuned next for the Saints Hour with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, coming up on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app.